I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Michael Veazey, speaking, and welcome to the Private Label Process launch week. So Private Label Process is basically the entire process that I use that underpins everything we do in our businesses, our Amazon businesses, and the work with mentoring clients these days as well, because we've codified what we do. It's not just one simple little idea or one neat little formula, but the neat formula is two things. First of all, it's building through different business phases, and it's the niche source launch action steps, plus the learning step, the fourth and hidden step, which is less obvious, but absolutely critical. So our entire philosophy is about learning by doing, and I think you should start small and grow as you go. The other thing is you need to be structured in the processes so that you build a business. It's a bit like how do you build a building? You can have an architectural plan for the building itself once it's finished, but what you need is a plan for how to put the scaffolding up, how to create the thing in the first place. So that's like your business. Once it's finished, it may look neat and like a little business, and you could just sit in and run it. And in fact, if you create a business like that, it's a very sellable asset because you can hand it over to somebody else tied in a bow, and it's ready to play with. You know, it's ready to, you know, play with. You know what I mean? Ready to use and run as a business owner with reasonably small hassle. But as a business builder, the entrepreneur, we need to have a different process. By the way, if you want to check out the process, the Private Label Process course itself, that is going to sell for £395 or $500 for the full course. I think incredibly good value for the amount of content and the organization involved. But for the pre-launch week, we are basically offering it until the 1st of December for £295 or $420. It's a pre-order, so that means you pay now and you get access within a couple of weeks to the full course once it's on our new course platform. But you'll get immediate access to the beta version, which has the first 12 modules. Anyway, if you want to check that out, amazingfba.com/PLP. A couple of other free resources we've been busy creating as part of our launch efforts, getting better at the marketing, getting back to communicating with people. Now we've finished the sweat of creating the digital product, and it turns out creating a digital product is no easier than getting a physical product into Amazon. It takes about 6 months in my case. Anyway, it turns out. So it's no easier. If you're thinking, oh, you know, I could, instead of selling on Amazon, why don't I just create a podcast about selling on Amazon? It's easier. Why isn't, you know, everyone seems to be doing it? Trust me, no, that's not the case. Having done both, I would say they both have their challenges, and I think it's good to have a finger in, you know, a foot in both camps. But I would start off with something that is simpler, and I definitely think the Amazon thing, whilst importing from China, has its challenges, and we talked about that in the last episode. If you want some help with that, by the way, episodes 289 and 290, I've talked about the overview of that process. Go to amazingfba.com/289 or /290 for those. But the free stuff we're creating is, I think, going to be really great value as well. So we're busy working to create that as fast as we can. If the PDFs aren't available yet, that is little documents you can download, free report, basically, that kind of thing, then we will certainly be working on creating it. So give us your email address and we will follow up and give you that thing within a couple of weeks again. So what we do have built already is something for listing research, if your listing creation, I should say, or optimization. If you need that, go to amazingfba.com/list, L-I-S for sugar tea. And for launching as a whole, we are about to create that as well. So amazingfba.com/launch, L-A-U-N-C-H. I mean, if you can't spell launch, you might have bigger problems than I can help you with. So let's get cracking. Let's talk about the launch, because once we created a listing, which we talked about in the last episode, episode 291, and if you missed that, go to amazingfba.com/291. Then the next thing we need to do is get traffic. So that is the next thing we have to think through. So the first thing to say is this is an overview of how to get traffic. There are lots of details. Rather than offer you one single magic bullet that works on its own, I want to give the overall process, and then we can always talk about in other episodes. We'll invite guests in, and we'll talk about all sorts of stuff. For example, chatbots is the latest sexy thing, and quite rightly, everyone's very excited about that. And we'll get Paul Harvey in. We've already had him in on the podcast recently, and we'll get him back. Doubtless, we'll probably get him to do a webinar because it really is an exciting topic. But having said that, it's very important to have an overall strategy of which any tactic like chatbots is a part. Because if you don't have that, then if you rely on a single tactic and that stops working, which often is the way with companies like Facebook and Amazon, things work really, really well. Then they plug some kind of loophole, or people just get saturated with that form of marketing. That's fine. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do any single form of marketing, but have an overall strategy, an overall plan. The more grown up I get as a business person, with Amazing FBA probably at this stage more than with Amazon, I've got more structures down now and I'm more outsourced. I need to go back to my Amazon businesses. But the thing is that Amazon already does a lot of this for you. So in a way, one of the reasons Amazon's a great out-of-the-box business is because it takes care of a lot of stuff for you. And if you work with Amazon and understand the platform, then you don't need to reinvent the wheel. I mean, running a Shopify store is really, really hard. Creating anything which runs off your own website and your own marketing is very, very hard. Ultimately rewarding. Ultimately, that's where I believe everyone should be aiming. So Amazon is a launch platform, but you still need to understand it. And this is an overview. So let's give you the quick overview and we'll get into a few of the details on the way. So the first thing is we've got to be very, very clear about this word ranking. What the heck is it all about? Keyword ranking as opposed to bestseller rank. So keyword ranking basically means that if somebody puts in a search term on Amazon, such as copper bracelet for women, that if your listing shows up, it's quotes ranked. Okay, so if it's ranked number one, it means it's the top of the search results page on Amazon, just like Google ranking. It's not complex. It's something we're very familiar with from Google and as Amazon shoppers, I'm sure. The little nuance around that is the match type. We'll talk about match types later. But that's basically what it means. And there's a difference between that and bestseller rank. Bestseller rank, I think, is just a complete red herring. If you have no other data to go on, the bestseller rank gives you a way to guesstimate how much revenue something's making. But given tools like Jungle Scout or Market Intelligence for the viral launch guys, or what else, Helium 10, any of those tools will do the job of telling us roughly what demand is and revenue. So we don't need the bestseller rank. It's a complete red herring. Bestseller rank just ranks things in the high level category. If it's number one in baby, it just means it's selling more than any other product in baby. It doesn't really tell you anything else. So just that's a red herring. Let's just forget about that. Ranking versus reviews is another interesting point. We need to be clear about what the aims are of what we're trying to get. A lot of people are trying to combine the two things. That is not a good plan. So if you're trying to get ranking for a keyword, again, we talked about what that means. You basically need to get sales that go via that keyword. And there's all sorts of tricks that people have tried that sometimes work, sometimes don't. Super URLs, storefront URLs, whatever, that work for a period and then that is shut. But whatever it is, you need to be clear, those are ranking aims, meaning that the objective is to get people to buy stuff, probably at a discount, often to give them an incentive to buy. Not necessarily, though, we'll talk about that. But either which way, the reason to do that is to show up in the search results for particular keywords, which implies A, you are very, very clear about what the keywords are you're targeting, and B, that you have a way to try and rank for them. Now, we talked about keywords in the last episode where we talked about listing. And guess what? You need to have exactly the same list of keywords that you're targeting in all of your launch efforts, whether you're talking about what you've created the listing around or what you put into Amazon ads, for example, or Facebook ads or anything else you're trying to do. You're trying to target the same keywords, whatever the mechanism is. And this is what I'm talking about with getting clear about strategic aims rather than getting obsessed with tactics or methods. So we talked about bestseller rank versus keyword rank. So that's a red herring. I think the bestseller rank, hope we've shown that. When it comes to reviews, we also have as an objective to get reviews. Why? Because that will increase the conversion rate of the listing. So let's talk about conversion rates, which is one of those really, really key metrics. What that means is the number of people coming to a listing is the traffic or the clicks, okay, or in sessions. There are various different words for it. Let's call it clicks. It's called sessions on Amazon's Seller Central account, but it clicks in the Amazon ads part of the world, right? Same kind of thing. Technically, views and sessions are different. If you're a nerd, great, wonderful. Most people get confused by that. Forget about that, okay? So I do know the difference, but I'm not going to get caught up. So clicks equals sessions. Let's just say that to keep it simple. Now, the number of people who convert or buy or have orders on the Amazon system is obviously a very, very important metric. So the number of orders divided by the number of sessions or the number of people who buy divided by the number of clicks, same kind of thing, is the conversion rate. And that's absolutely critical. Why? Simple reasons. For example, if you have to have, if you have a conversion rate of 10%, that means you get one order for every 10 people who visit your Amazon listing page. That means, for example, if you're paying a dollar for each of those clicks, because it's all coming via ads, and to start with it maybe, then that sale is going to cost you $10. Whereas if the conversion rate is 20%, that means one out of every five visitors will convert, then that traffic's only going to cost you $5, right? Five times $1 equals $5, you know, five clicks. So you get the picture. So that's really, really important. The reason that reviews are important is because reviews really, really increase your conversion rate. And my experience is that if I drop from a five-star average review to 4.5-star average, the conversion rate drops in half. So reviews aren't that important to have in bulk, in my experience. In America, I've found that over 20 reviews didn't make that much difference to being able to sell the same kind of stuff as people with hundreds more reviews than me, particularly in an era where a lot of reviews are being removed as being potentially manipulative, and people are having a cap based on how many reviews they can get per day. Review velocity limit, it's called technically. So what I would say is this: you don't need millions of reviews. You do need really good quality reviews, high star reviews. So that's a completely different objective to ranking. One thing I would just clarify straight away is this. Very simple, but critical to your entire future with Amazon, if you're going to have one at all. Okay, so listen closely. If you are offering any form of discount on a product, you do not want to ask for any form of review from them, because that can be seen by Amazon as review manipulation. So if you're going out to get ranking on a particular keyword, for example, if you've got a giveaway funnel via chatbots and search and buy or something, and you run Facebook ads, for example, if you're deciding to be sophisticated, first time out, by the way, I keep it simple. But let's imagine you're doing that because you get caught up in this sexy way of doing it. Great, wonderful, very good plan. And be very, very clear. If you're offering in your Facebook ad an 80% discount as a way to really get people to click, good plan. And then you give them a code and they go to Amazon, they search and buy. Wonderful. However, if they've had 80% off their product, you absolutely are only wanting to use those people to get ranking on Amazon for a particular keyword, whatever you ask them to search for, right? You absolutely cannot and must not ask them for a review, because you're asking them for a review, but you've given them 80% off. So they've obviously got some kind of incentive to give you a review that is positive. At least that's the way Amazon sees it, and that's what counts, right? So absolutely critical. I can't say enough. If you do that and Amazon finds it, and they probably will, you are quite likely to get your entire account suspended. And that means game over in terms of selling anything at all. Your money will be frozen with Amazon. Your stock will be frozen if you have it at FBA as well, with fulfilled by Amazon warehouses. So do not fall into this trap. Small thing, easy to avoid. Just don't make sure if you have an email follow-up sequence to get reviews, which you should have with organic sales, make sure it does not do so for discounts. Most competent email service providers will do that, managed by Stats, Feedback 5, Feedback Genius, Cash Cow Pro, all the usual suspects, right? I'll put a few of those links in the show notes. So relevance, let's talk about relevance when it comes to Amazon ads and organic ranking. And by the way, the aim is to get organic traffic, so get organically ranked and spend a very modest proportion, probably maximum 10% of your revenue on ads. Okay, so that is what we're aiming at. When you launch, you're going to go much more aggressively on the ads, and then over time you're going to bring the ad spend down and put the price up. But one of the things that, whether it's organic or paid for, is relevance. Relevance is the absolute god at Amazon now. It used to be conversion rates. If you had very, very good conversion rate, they would rank your listing very highly. And of course, that's extremely important. By the way, we talked about conversion rate, so plenty of orders relative to the traffic you get. Because obviously, if Amazon shows your product and half of the people who click on your listing are going to buy, like a conversion rate of 50%, which can happen, then obviously Amazon's going to love your product and rank it all the damn time, because they make loads of money from you, right? And the customers are happy as well. The other thing, though, is relevance with click-through rates. Click-through rates, another one of those rates that you need to get your head around. Again, pretty simple. It's the number of people who click divided by the number of impressions, or the number of people who see your advert or your listing. Now, here's the brain, I don't know what the polite version is, the mind F, you get the idea of what I'm saying. Unfortunately, Amazon does not show you organic impressions, unlike Google, gives you a lot more data. Amazon doesn't show you how many times your listing shows up organically. You can guess that from the keyword ranking if you track that, and you absolutely should be tracking keyword ranking, by the way. A tool like Hashcar Pro, Managed by Stats, I think, does it, Zonguru does it. Just tons and tons of different software. Most software these days will offer keyword rank tracking, but it's critical that you run that on your rivals and on your own listing so you can see how you compare for the important keywords that you're trying to track, right? So the click-through rate needs to be on Amazon ads above 0.7%. So we do get that information from Amazon on ads only. So that means that over out of whatever is 0.7%. So it's about one person out of 120 people who sees your ad clicks on it. So that's something very important. And how do you influence? That's very simple. You need to make sure there's a great match between your product photo, the product title, and the keyword you're targeting. If you're selling a pink widget and you're trying to target the keyword blue widget, you're on a completely losing streak. Okay, so just make sure there's a great message to market match, as Dan Kennedy would put it. So let's talk about the traffic overview on Amazon. That really is the meat and potatoes. Don't get distracted by off Amazon tactics from really mastering on Amazon traffic. What we're really aiming at is organic traffic, which is the one when Amazon will just show your products without charging any money for ads. That is the alpha and the omega. That is really what we're all about on Amazon. If you have to pay for ads for a big percentage of your sales, the economics is not going to work for you. Off Amazon traffic that is paid for that reason is normally not very practical, except for launch. Okay, so it's a lot of fuel in order to move the rocket off the ground those critical first couple of miles, and that's exactly how to treat it. It's a booster, and like any booster launch, the space shuttle burns about 80% of its fuel in the first few minutes, and that's exactly going to be the same with your listing. We basically need to burn a lot of fuel to get you off the ground, bearing in mind the positive feedback loop that we're in with an Amazon with the Amazon algorithm, right? It's absolutely critical to have a good launch. It's not an optional extra to just drift along, unlike other platforms out there. You know, certain types of things like blogs, over time it can get better. That's fine. That's what works for blogs. Absolutely does not in any way, shape or form work for Amazon. So bearing in mind that we've got to spend a lot of money in order to get launched, nevertheless, our aim is to get ranked organically. That is absolutely our aim. And we've got to be very, very clear about that. The way to get ranked organically is twin sides of the same coin, which is get the listing absolutely optimized for the right keywords, good keyword density, and the most important keywords you think up in the title, and then the next most important in the first two bullets, which are the ones that show up on a mobile, by the way, and then the rest of it in bullets 3, 4, 5, and then the description and the back end as well. So what does all that mean? It basically means you have your keyword target list and you put that in the listing everywhere, and then you run Amazon ads on that, probably exact match, bid aggressively, depends on the market, what aggressive means. It could be $2, $3, $4, $5 in the USA for more aggressive markets. And I would be tempted to bid a lot of a daily budget. Again, how much depends on your budget. Talk it through with a coach if you can, because this is complex stuff. You need to sit down with spreadsheets and just really hammer through the details of this. But I would say $50, $100 if you're launching the US, maybe more. Depends on the market, really. But don't be cheapskates. So Amazon ads come in two flavors. There's the auto campaign, which means Amazon will automatically run what it thinks. Well, it will show your listing in response to what it thinks are relevant keywords, and over time it will refine that. Bear in mind, however, that it's not going to be that refined, because Amazon makes money every time somebody clicks on an ad, and Amazon ads is their most profitable division, apart from AWS, which I think isn't that profitable, actually. So in the entire company of Amazon, Amazon ads makes a profit, and most of it costs them a hell of a lot of money, like the distribution centers and stuff. They are undercharging, or they have been undercharging us for years and years as third-party sellers for their incredible fulfillment machine. It's beginning to get charged more at market rate or for what they provide. But certainly the Amazon ads is profitable, so be careful. They will induce you to spend a lot of money. I think you have to do that to start with, but you need to rein that in after a few days in most cases. Manual campaigns is the other thing. Manual campaigns are basically where you choose the keywords that you target. And again, it comes down to those 20 crucial keywords, and five of them are really, really critical. Again, with the top five, I would create probably a separate campaign, or if it's from one campaign, separate ad group, and I would have exact match ad group and a phrase match and a broad match. We haven't talked about some match types yet, so let's talk about that now. So what does this mean? Let's take the example of the keyword, or the search term, I should say, what the customer actually puts into the search bar and then clicks search. That's called the search term. So if somebody puts in copper bracelet for men, and you have adverts set up to appear for your listing, for your copper bracelet, one hopes, rather than a pink widget, because it won't work. But your copper bracelet has an advert set up to run on the exact match keyword, copper bracelet for men. What happens? Well, if the person types in copper bracelet for men, your advert will show up. It will get what's called an impression. And if the person clicks on it, then it gets a click and all the rest. If you've got it set up to copper bracelet for men and they type in copper bracelet for women, if you have set it up as an exact match type, then the exact customer search term is different from your keyword. Your advert will not show, because they're searching for something for women and you've said it's for men. Okay, so that's the exact match type. Because of that, it's very targeting. Because of that, it's generally going to be more profitable and more relevant for you. So relevance is good, and you get rewarded by keyword ranking. And obviously, people buying is good because it gives you money. And plus, it gives Amazon money, so it makes them happy, so it gets you good ranking. So exact match keywords are really probably the way to go in terms of aggressive spend. The only thing I would say is you should test phrase and broad match. Just to clarify, that means if you can get your head around this stuff, think it through and, just clarify this. You may wish to replay this segment again on your phone if you're listening, or wherever you're listening. Phrase match means something like this. If somebody writes, for example, copper bracelet for women, cheap, and you are targeting the phrase copper bracelet for women as a keyword, as a phrase match, then if the phrase copper bracelet for women appears anywhere in the search term, it should show up. For example, copper bracelet for women, cheap, cheap bracelets for women, cheap copper bracelet for women. I can't believe I'm looking for this bracelet, whatever you put in there. Yeah. So that's going to give you a lot more search results. So it'd be broader. You'll get more people seeing it potentially, but the relevance will be lower. So the click-through rate's lower. So Amazon doesn't see it as so relevant, doesn't reward you so much. And you'll probably get fewer sales for people who do click, right? Generally. The broad match is as you'd expect. If I have the search, if I have a keyword copper bracelets in Amazon advert, Amazon ads, I should say, so sorry, then what happens if you put a search term like copper bracelet for men, bracelets, pink bracelet, bracelet that goes on your wrist, blah, 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 is probably going to show up. And you get quite a lot of irrelevant search results and people clicking through who shouldn't really be there because they were never going to buy. That said, that's theory. The practice I've found occasionally in the past, were quite often, that broad match, for whatever reason, seemed to work and make me money and thus get me sales and keep Amazon's algorithm happy as well. So don't assume that you're right about your exact match. I would just test all three types, but I would just say you've probably got the most important parts of AdWords to boil it down is you've probably got five main keywords you're after. You need to have those in prominent places in your listing, and then you're probably going to have those as exact matches and spend pretty large amounts of those on Amazon ads. And if you want to simplify it to its basics, that is probably what you need to do with Amazon ads. The other thing I would say is pricing. Don't be foolish about this. If you lower your price, if you're aiming to sell something at $20 and your break-even point for your products, not including ads, is say $15, then I would probably go out and try and sell it at $10. And the reason for that is this. If you get a conversion rate of say 20% because it's so cheap and you've got one review, so you haven't got a lot of social proof yet, so and people, it's new, people haven't heard of your product and haven't seen it in the listings before, so they're a bit nervous. They need a good strong incentive to buy, and price is always one of those. Now here's the thing, if say 20% of people buy it, that would be pretty good going, but achievable. That means you only one out of every five people who come to your listing will buy. So if you're spending, say, $1 a click, then you're only going to spend $5 on ads. So you'll end up spending, you're losing, say, $5 because it's below break even, and then you spend an extra $5. So you're losing $10 overall per sale. But what you're gaining is market share by ranking better for those particular keywords. I hope that all makes sense. I mean, again, you may want to revisit that. Market share being a percentage of the revenue that's being made, right? So you're gaining market share from somebody else. You're winning visibility for particular keywords that are valuable, right? So that's what you're winning. You're paying money out, but you're winning that. Think about the other way. If you're saying, oh, I just want to sell this thing for $20, I refuse to lower my price. Okay, great. But let's say that your conversion rate is just 5% because it's a brand new listing. Nobody's ever seen it before. You've only got one review. So guess what? The conversion rate's low because the market doesn't have much trust in you. What happens then is that if you have a 5% conversion rate, and let's say you're paying $1 a click, you're going to need 20 clicks to make a sale. So yeah, you're selling it at $20, and in theory, that's $5 profit before you take ads into account. But then you've got to take $15 off. So you're also going to be spending $10 loss for that sale. But although you get through less inventory, which is good, but you will be making far fewer sales. So you're not feeding the algorithm what it wants to see, which is plenty of sales, and your ranking will not be as good. So overall, if you have your price too high and your conversion rate's low at the start, when you're running a lot of ads, and that's where most of your traffic comes from, then guess what? You will lose about the same amount of money as if you had a really low price, but ran ads that were more effective, but you won't get the ranking juice. So basically, let's put it in simple, simple terms. Price low, spend aggressively on ads. And that's much more effective than pricing high and spending aggressively on ads, right? You don't want to be depending on ad traffic for your organic for your sales in the future. So in other words, it's only there as a mechanism, that's paid traffic, to get you launched in the first place. And that's it. So if that's what he's trying to do, you're exchanging money for market share anyway, or ranking, same thing. Market share is more broad business concept, rankings and Amazon thing, right? But whatever, it's the same thing, right? You're visible. And if you're visible, you can get the click. And if you get the click, then you can get the sale. And if you get the sale, you're making money, right? So, and then gradually over time, you want to bring the ad spend down and ratchet the price up very slowly. I think you want to bring the ad spend down reasonably soon once you are ranking at your desired place for your desired keywords. So it's really not that hard. People overcomplicate this stuff. I mean, yes, sure, you can add Facebook ads and chatbots into the mix. And yeah, they are very good. And chatbots particularly incredible because the open rate's so high and that can be very effective. And search and buy is a lot smarter than the old storefront URL, which I think in the last few months, my insider, you know, big guys in the 10K Collective mastermind, or the mates that I've got who are selling hundreds of thousands a month, are finding that storefront URL really is not effective anymore. So that's kind of old news. I don't think I'd bother with that anymore. But search and buy is great. But before you go all fancy, I really think majority of people, if they're going out for their first launch, really should just focus on good listing, very, very, very clear product research and decisions about exactly where you want to rank for exactly what keywords. Measure it. That I can't stress enough. It's just driving at 100 miles an hour without a speedometer if you don't measure keyword ranking. It's absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. I can't stress that enough. If you're spending thousands on ads, for God's sake, measure the effects of it, okay? So keyword ranking measurement is an absolute crucial thing. Then you need to look at the overall listing and is it performing well? And we'll talk in the next module, I'm getting back into the private label process course recording here, but the next episode, we'll talk about measurement and stuff. But basically, measure whether it's, you know, converting well, and keep an eye on your ad spend. And then you want to just basically make sure you're not spending too much after a certain amount of time on ads. Basically, it should be mostly organically based traffic that is getting you sales. So launch period is a critical time. There's loads going on. I personally don't think you should add into the mix any external traffic until you've mastered the basics of on Amazon stuff. And the last thing to say on that one is that for a period, Amazon was quite keen on external traffic and rewarded it quite well. Quite recently, the algorithms changed quite violently. In the last couple of months, I mean, I'm recording this in November, late November, early December 2018. And I think that's just very simply because the markets, as in the financial markets for Amazon stocks and shares, punished Amazon for not making enough money. Now, it's been part of their growth story for a couple of decades that they've made almost no profit. It's just crazy how they've got away with that for so long. But now they need profit. Guess what makes Amazon profit? Amazon ads. Therefore, they are consciously making it harder to be rewarded for external traffic and making it much more a conscious decision that you have to use their ad system because that makes them money. So guess what? If you go with what Amazon wants, as long as it's also in your interest, right? Don't just do what Amazon wants you to spend money on useless ads. Have effective ads. But nevertheless, Amazon ads are now back, front and center as part of the launch, in fact, the main launch mechanism. So don't get over fancy. I say this based on the, not on so much just on my own data, but I've got members of the 10K Collective who have launched 60, 70 products over the last quarter, just one person, right? And the other members collectively probably launched over 100 products in the last quarter, last 3 months. And this is overwhelmingly effective mechanism. Get the price low, run Amazon ads, and then ramp it up over time. So this is the real deal. This isn't some speculation. The speculative stuff is whether other stuff works or not off Amazon marketing. There's plenty you can do. There's influencer marketing, which is very effective. You can do Facebook ads to chatbot and stuff, but that's for advanced stuff. I would start off on my first private label launch with the simple but effective stuff. And that's exactly what I've been teaching. A mentoring client of mine recently, he's just launched. And guess what? It's working for him. So this stuff works. More speculative stuff, you just need to be more expert to use it, and it's less likely to work. So go for the easy wins first. So I say easy, it's going to cost you substantial money. Rule of thumb, if you haven't yet hit the launch place and you're just planning your overall budgets, my rule of thumb is if you've got, say, $10,000 to spend up front, don't go spend it all at once, because you probably want to divide it something like $3,000 to $4,000 for your first order, getting it made and freighted and basically landed, the total landed cost, including shipping, import duty, et cetera, all that stuff. Yeah. Then probably want to put $2,000 to $2,500 aside for the marketing costs, for the launch costs, I should say. I'm so sorry, which is basically marketing, but includes things like if you're selling a product at a loss, paying for the fulfillment by Amazon to ship it to people, and then advertising and the ads, right? Once you've got the thing launched and working really well, guess what? Your product should be selling really well. You're going to have to go and reorder, you know, pretty soon, depending on your lead time. In other words, how long it takes from putting some money down with your manufacturer to getting your product ready to sell on Amazon, right? So in that case, you really don't want to mess about. You're going to have to go back and reorder. So you're going to need another $3,000 to $4,000 for that. So if you've got $10,000 burning a hole, I should say, in your pocket, you really should divide it into three bits. The first order, the launch costs, and then the reorder. Once you reorder, at that point, you should be into profit territory because you've got it ranked and selling well for good products. All things being equal, you know, now obviously, things are never equal because this is incredibly seasonal business retail, and Christmas goes crazy and January is dead for most products. If you're selling stuff connected with health, January can be a very good time. Obviously, July, August, if you're selling barbecues, outdoors, camping stuff, whatever, it can do really well. So yeah, these things vary, but there is an overall sort of seasonality things that you've got to take into account as well, right? So hope that makes sense. The last point I touched on is really just brings home once again two basic points that are behind the private label process, the philosophy we run on here, which is number one, you have to think strategically. You have to think big picture first. If the small tactical stuff works, but it's not part of a big picture, for example, you might shift a ton of units with Facebook ads, but if you haven't thought about the fact that that means then, yeah, you've ranked, you've launched, great, and you need to reorder stuff and you haven't got any money left for that, it's game over, isn't it? So that's over tactical focus without thinking about the overall big picture is just no good. You have to think big picture. But you have to act one step at a time, but you need to have a big picture and that it fits into. You need both the detail and the big picture, which I think was where the private label process course really, really wins. I mean, I can't really say anything else about that. It costs a bit of money. You don't have to spend any money with me at all, but whatever you do, you should have a process that is both overall makes sense and the details are there as well. The other thing to say is really, you've got to think things through in the right way. And so strategic focus is critical, but also you've got to have a plan which is kind of the same thing in another way of putting it, is that the overall plan needs to be in place first before you work on individual bits of it. I think I'm saying the same thing twice, really, but I'll say it again because it needs to be said. Everyone focuses on tactics. And for sure, I can do an episode talking about chatbots. And for sure, I should, because it is an important tactical win. And that's never to be sneezed at. That can make a lot of people a heck of a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-tactics. What I just think you have to get is an overall picture first and then slot the tactics into that. It doesn't matter what business you're in. That's always true. It's true on Amazon. And for whatever reason, Amazon is very prone to everyone getting obsessed with tactics and hacks. I guess it used to be the same with niche sites and Google, but maybe it's still the same, but I don't move in that world. But it's true with amazing FBA as well. I mean, I have to think tactics and then strategy, and strategy and then tactics fit within that. And whenever I focus on strategically wise things, over time I get wins. And whenever I focus on tactical stuff and don't think about the big picture, I don't do well. So with Amazing FBA, for example, I'm trying to think about the tactical win right now of getting the private label process launched and getting a few sales under my belt to reassure me that people want it, and also to get testimonials from happy people who are getting an incredible deal, therefore hopefully easy to get good testimonials, and they're starting to come in, I'm pleased to report. But also I need to think longer term, what's my strategy for building a loyal audience of people who know, like, and trust me? And the answer is having a podcast that keeps delivering value and has an overarching framework behind it onto which I can hang different episodes. So it's no different. Whatever business you're in, you need to have a strategic framework and then tactics within that. So the launch is really one of those places where everyone gets obsessed with tactics. I promise you, a robust strategy will get you there way quicker, will get you the result you want, which is actually to get some to get sales, and then after that to get profits. Hope this has been helpful. As I said, we have got free PDFs that we're creating for you. So go over to amazingfba.com/launch, L-A-U-N-C-H. And we will, if we haven't created it already, you can sign up for an email list where we'll notify you and send through, as soon as it's made, we'll send our launch PDF guide through to you. But I hope this has been helpful. As you can tell, I'm quite passionate about this because I've seen a lot of people throw a lot of money out the window and also help people to make good success. So it can go one way or the other, but one thing it will not be is neutral. So you go in with a plan and plan to succeed. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And I'm not a great planning person, but I've realized fairly quickly with Amazon and any online marketing that you just need to make a plan and then follow it. Yes, you need to adjust to reality, but the plan is a very, very good start. Thanks very much for listening. One final point I would say is this. If you're going to get any help from a professional coach or consultant, there are two places where it's absolutely critical and can really make a disproportionately big difference. One is just before you source products and spend thousands of dollars, for obvious reasons. If they stop you from buying something and making a dumb mistake and you spend a couple of £100 or $300 or whatever with a coach for a couple of sessions or a session, depending on how expensive they are, that's money very, very well spent. Okay. If you want to do that with me, go to amazingfba.com/gem, G-E-M, and we'll go over your sourcing choices. The other one, which is at a closely related time frame, is when you spent that money, but you haven't launched yet, and getting a launch plan is pretty rare, but it's important. So for that reason, I've called the service RARE, R-A-R-E, and that's review, analyze, I can't remember what the third R is, second R rather, and then execute. So basically we will look at all your data and synthesize that into, okay, here's your market research, here's what you've done with your product, here are the features of it, let's get a launch plan together in a very specific way. And that's another paid service as well. I don't think it's a lot, it's £147 or about whatever that is in dollars, $170, $180. But for the next 10 people to take it, I'm going to do a discount because this is it's not new in the sense I've been doing this for 2 years for people, for mentoring 2.5 years, but it's new that I'm specifically offering this as a narrow little service on its own. So I want to get it moving. So it'll be at £97 if you, the first 10 people to take me up on this, or about $130, $125. So that's at amazingfba.com/rare, R-A-R-E. Revise your data, we'll analyze what's going on, we'll create a plan together, and then we'll execute it. So that's available to you, whether you work with me or somebody else. I think I'm pretty good value considering the massive experience that I have now in this area bring to bear. But whoever you work with, I would really suggest before you spend thousands that you spend 100 or two getting some input from a professional who knows what they're talking about with Amazon. And the other place, as I say, is when you're about to launch. That's also a critical point. And that is money well spent. Even if overall mentoring, I offer mentoring overall. If you want to check that out, amazingfba.com/mentoring. Sure, that can be valuable. And over the course of several months, obviously it can help you a lot more than in a one-off or two sessions. But nevertheless, if you're going to spend money at any point on consulting, it's just before you order and just before you launch. So I just beg you not to be too cheapskate there, because honestly, a bad launch is going to throw thousands out of the window. So it's just not worth the risk. In my opinion, to get some professional input, always worth it. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Quite a longish episode, but there's quite a lot to pack in here because it is a complex thing. But I hope I've laid a few myths to rest and giving you a solid, actionable framework. Like I said, this is based on real life, not just me and one or two products I've launched recently, but lots and lots of people's launches. It's a synthesis of a lot of experience in this episode. So I hope you find it valuable. Thanks very much for listening or watching, and speak to you in the next podcast. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.